wounded spirit. Victory over a wounded spirit. And thus far, what we saw in the first Roman numeral, look to the Savior. You and I get wounded. We need to look to the Savior. Why? He's the originating one. That was A. B, he's the enduring one. And then C, he is the resurrected one. But then we're going to talk about something different today. Roman numeral 2 starts off this way. Listen to the Savior. So write that down. Listen to the Savior. And when we get a wounded spirit, we're going to get a wounded spirit one of two ways. And it's very simple of how we're going to get these wounded spirits. Anybody know one of the two ways that we're going to get a wounded spirit? It's two simple, basic ways that most of our wounded spirit comes from. Rose? Pride, yes, amen. And so we would call that self-inflicted wound, okay? So if one of the ways is a self-inflicted wound, what's the other wound? Other people. So in other words, it's a sin-infected world that wounds us. And so it's going to be either a self-inflicted wound or it's going to be a sin-infected world that's going to wound us. So one of the two. Those are really the only two wounds that we get. It's by something that we do or something that someone does to us. Let me read you a devotion that I read this morning. And it's out of Hebrews 12:6. And I'll read Hebrews 12:6. It says this. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son whom he receiveth. And the devotion says this. There's a tendency among Christians to view anything unpleasant that happens to them as a result of spiritual warfare. When a difficulty arises, many immediately ask God to remove their distress. The problem is that their predicament may have nothing to do with Satan or with spiritual warfare. Interesting, huh?
Yes, it is.
Says it may appear far more glorious for us to explain our hardships as Satan's determined attacks against us rather than admitting that we are merely reaping what we have sown and are being disciplined by our Heavenly Father. Ouch. Galatians 6:7 says what? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man soweth, therefore shall he also reap. So in other words, I may plant my seed or my crop here, but I may not get the fruit until down here. And then when I get the fruit, it's oftentimes I forget what I planted down there and forget that this is the fruit that comes from what I planted there. He goes on to say this. What is often mistaken as Satan's attack may actually be chastisement from our loving Father. So if you've neglected your role as a spiritual teacher to your children, God may allow them to fall into sin. That's reaping. If you have been dishonest at work, God may correct you by letting you face the consequences of decrease in pay or getting fired. That's reaping. It would be foolish to pray that God would cease or would ease your discomfort in either of these situations. God is disciplining you in order to gain your attention and bring necessary change to your life. How tragic never to make the connection between your problems and God's discipline. God's discipline will not help you if you dismiss it as Satan's doing or spiritual warfare. Goes on to say, not every hardship is the chastisement of God. But scripture indicates that God will discipline you, according to Hebrews 12:6. If you misunderstand God's chastening, you may actually blame him for not answering your prayers or failing to protect you from Satan. Meanwhile, God is warning you of the danger you face because of your sin. His nature is perfect, loved, and he corrects you because he has your ultimate good in his heart. I just read that this morning and I thought, wow, that is absolutely fitting to what we're studying right now, because Roman numeral 2 deals with the aspect of recovering from a wound because of sin. And that's what Roman numeral 2 talks about. And let me give you the points here. It says, number one, Roman 2, listen to the Savior. That's the Roman numeral 2, listen to the Savior. But then A is listen to his chastening. listen to his chastening. And then B is learn from his chastening. So listen to his chastening, then learn from his chastening. By the way, this is subject matter that we don't like to talk about. How many of y'all like to talk about you suffering for your sin because it's your fault? None of us. How many of us like to talk about us suffering because somebody else abused us and we want God to get them? Amen. We all want to talk about that aspect. Lord, Lord, get them. You know, they wronged me. They did me wrong. Get them. I'm innocent. But then when we sin, we don't like to talk about that. But that's exactly what this is talking about. When you go down through Hebrews, he begins to talk about that. And so when we get a wounded or hurt spirit, sometimes it's because it is our fault. Now, by the way, we still need to look to the Savior.
Yes, sir, we do, Pastor.
Still need to look to the Savior. He still is the originating one. He still is the enduring one. He still is the resurrected one. So we still have to look to the Savior. But as we do that, number two, we have to listen to the Savior. God wants to teach us through difficult times. He says things in difficult times that we would never hear when things are going well. Why is that true? Why does God say to us things that we would never hear when the going was smooth? Was that? Amen. As a warning, staying close to him. He knows what's up ahead. Tamara? Amen. Diana? You're going to say the same thing. And basically, that's it. It's a combination of all three of those. If you're driving down your street and in your car and someone says, be careful, you're going to drown. What are you going to think? You're not going to even listen. I'm driving a car. There is no aspect of me drowning right now. But if someone is actually in the water and they're drowning, will they listen? Yes. Hey, be careful. You're going to drown. Now, if somebody was in this boat and they were close to the edge, you think they would listen to that? Yes. If they were on the water and they were sailing and they were close to the edge, someone said, hey, be careful. You might drown. If you get too close, you might fall over. But if someone's driving down the road, someone says, hey, be careful. You might drown. It's going to go in one ear and out the other. So when it comes to listening to the Savior, God wants to teach us through difficult times. And he does say things in difficult times that we would never hear when things are going well. Why? Number one, we need to hear it. And number two, we often will heed it because we need it. Amen. And so that's just something that goes along with it. But it is important to remember that not all the problems that we experience are for the purpose of chastening us for wrong. You know, we don't do wrong 24 hours a day, okay? And so, well, I hope we don't do wrong 24 hours a day, amen? And so we're not going to experience chastening all the time, amen? And so when it comes down to chastening, we've got to understand that some trials are a result of living in a sinful world. In other words, it's a sin-inflected world, and people are just wicked. People are going to rob you. They're going to steal from you. They're going to break into your house, maybe. They may try to steal your purse. They may try to steal your identity. My wife and I, we just got our tax pin in the mail because, of course, a couple years ago, there was this big breach on the military, and a lot of Social Securities were stolen. Ours was one, and someone filed a tax form in my wife's name. So it took us a year to get our return back because someone got our money and took it. And so just a couple of days ago, they gave us a PIN number that we have to use when we file our return. So without this PIN, we don't get a return, but no one else can fraudulently get our taxes.
Good.
Now, why did that happen? We live in a sinful world.
Yes, sir.
It's no fault of ours.
That's right.
We live in a sinful society. Did it affect us? Greatly.
Mm-hmm.
For a year, I'm so glad we weren't depending upon that money coming back because we didn't get it for a whole year. Now, the bright side is we got interest for a year. So that was a good part. Amen. So we had a ready savings account. So we've got to understand that some trials are a result of living in a sinful world. But all of our trials can bring glory to God if they are properly handled. Matter of fact, go over to John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse number 33. So when we're looking at a wounded spirit, sometimes a wounded spirit is going to come from just living in a sinful world. John chapter 16 And notice what Jesus says here in verse 33. Read that together with me. John 16, 33. Everybody there? Here we go. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, did Jesus says in the world you might have tribulation? What did he say? You shall have it. It's going to happen. It's only a matter of time, when it's going to happen, where it's going to happen, and how it's going to happen. It's only a matter of time, but it's going to happen. It's on the road. Let me tell you this. We are on the ship of life this year in 2018, and we're sailing down the sea of life. And guess what? You're going to have tribulation this year. It's only a matter of time. You cannot live life and not expect tribulation. Jesus said, ye shall have tribulation. So you can almost guarantee it's going to happen. Amen. Now, by whom it happens, when it happens, where it happens, what kind it is really unseen right now. But it's going to come. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. So if I'm abiding in Christ, guess what? I can have peace. He says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so we know that we are living in a sinful world, and some of the things that we encounter will be sin-infected world wounds that we receive. But in some trials or injuries and troubles are a direct result of something that we've done ourselves. So as we're sailing down the sea of life, maybe something that you did in 2017, 16, 15, 14, and going back, that crop may come due this year. If that crop comes due this year, then what are you going to do? Jump ship and drown? Well, I'm out of this ship of life, amen. By the way, some people will commit suicide this year, because they cannot handle a seed that they planted years ago. And they will jump out of this ship and they will kill themselves. It's sad, but it's true. Some Christians will kill themselves this year because they don't like the sea of life that they're on. So some trials or injuries are a result of us having done something. The fact that God chastens us when we sin is evidence that we are his children and that he loves us, and we indeed need to respond the way he wants us to. Notice Hebrews 12:8. Let's go back over there. Hebrews 12:8. Hebrews 12:8 says this: but if ye be without chastisement, whereof how many are partakers? All are partakers. Then are you bastards and not sons. He said, you're illegitimate. You don't belong to God if you can go without chastisement. By the way, if our children do wrong, what do? We correct them. The word chastisement there means correction. It's for child training. It is dealing with them in a multiple different ways, whether it's by rebuke or whether it's reproof or whether it's by even the rod of correction. Amen. But it's used for child training there. And this teaching on God's chastening is not the most popular. When you get to Hebrews 12 and we start talking about verse 6 and 7, notice that, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son and receiveth. We don't like that. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons, for what son is he whom the Lord chasteneth not? We don't like that either.
Yes, sir.
By the way, that's coming from Proverbs. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. And I think that we would all say that we love our children. Proverbs chapter number 3, this comes right after be not wise in thy own eyes, fear the Lord, depart from evil. Notice down there in verse number 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Why? Verse 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. So he gives an earthly illustration. He says the same way a father would correct his son, the same way God corrects his children. Okay? And so sometimes this wounded spirit that we may have is our own fault. God's trying to get us better. Sometimes this wounded spirit that we have is not our fault, and God is trying to still get us better. By the way, I read this, what it says in the book. God loves us so much that when we disobey him, he will chasten us. He wants us to be right with him. He will do what is necessary to bring us back to him. By the way, sometimes we as parents, don't we get a little bit too busy to deal with our children and we let it slide? God is never too busy to let us slide.
No, he's not, Pastor.
He takes personal attention to us. He is not too busy to let us slide. And by the way, he loves us too much to let us slide.
Yes, sir,
I've been late for engagements before because I had to take time out and deal with my children. Why? My children are more important than an engagement. Amen. They are more important.
Yes, sir, it is.
And I want them to know that they're more important, that I will skip my engagement or be late for my engagement to give them the time to deal with them. Why? I want them to be right.
Yes, sir.
I want them to be right with me. And I want them to be right with God. And I want them to be right with others. Oops. Amen.
Amen,
so, when it comes down to this dilemma, which one is it? How do we know the difference? Go to Psalm 139. How are we going to know the difference? If it's a sin-inflicted world or if it's my own sin? Psalm 139. Many of you know this psalm already. Many of us are afraid to pray this prayer. Psalm 139, notice what he says in 23 and 24. Read those two verses with me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Now we say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Am I saying, God, I want you to know my heart? God is omnipotent. He knows everything. He's omnipresent and omniscient. So when I say, try me and know my heart, what am I actually saying? Lord, test me and show me what you see. That's what I'm actually saying. I'm not saying, Lord, I want you to see what's here. God knows what's there.
Yes, sir, it is, Pastor. They do.
But when I pray, search me, O God, and know my heart, I'm saying, reveal it to me so that I know what's there. Notice what he says. Try me and know my thoughts. Let me know what I'm thinking.
Yes.
By the way, sometimes can our thoughts scare us?
Yes, sir. You can.
If you get angry enough at somebody, your thoughts can scare you what you would do. Amen.
Amen, Pastor.
You know, don't look at me pious like that. Y'all know it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to sabotage their car. You know, you want to do this. If people do you wrong, you're like, look, I don't have this kind of time.
Amen.
It's supposed to be an easier society and more work seems to go into it. Let me get through this phone if I could get a real person. But I can't.
There you go.
And so he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And notice this, verse 24. And see if there be what? Any wicked way in me. So I'm saying, Lord, reveal to me what's in my mind and what's in my heart. And if there's some wickedness in there, Lord, show it to me.
Yes, sir.
If the truth be known, we really don't want to know.
That's right.
Because if it's there, what do I got to do now? Now I got to deal with it. But ignorance is bliss. As long as I don't know about it. As long as I don't know I hurt somebody or did someone wrong and God's not pleased with it, as long as I don't know it, I'm okay. But as soon as I know it, guess what? As a child of God, I got to deal with it.
Yes, sir.
So he says, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and then what? Lead me in the way everlasting.
Everlasting.
And when he says, and lead me in the way everlasting, what is he talking about doing? Make sure that I'm going in the way that I need to go, where saved people ought to go, not unsaved people ought to go. In other words, Proverbs 28 and verse 13. Let's go over there real quick. Proverbs 28 and Proverbs 28:13. So see, when it comes to a wounded spirit, we're okay as long as someone hurt us and we want to get them back. But if it's us, we don't like that. I don't like it any more than you do. Notice what it says down there in Hebrews, Proverbs 28:13. Read that with me. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So in other words, when I say, Lord, try my heart, know my thoughts. Lord, show me what's there. Reveal it to me. And then, Lord, when you do reveal it to me, if I see that wicked way, I want to go away from the wickedness and I want to go in the righteousness. In other words, I want to confess it, forsake it, and leave it, deal with that, leave it alone. But oftentimes we don't want to do that. Why? Because that's admitting guilt. That's saying, Lord, I was wrong. None of us like to be wrong. None of us like to be wrong. But we have to get to the point where we realize that a wounded spirit sometimes may come from things that we've done. And we've got to ask God to deal with it and show me what I did back there so I can deal with it now. I don't like to see it. But I need to see it. Other times, God is just saying, look, you haven't done anything wrong. If I ask God to try my heart and show me what's there, and he shows me nothing, guess what? I can say that, hey, I'm getting beat down because this is a sinful world. Mm-hmm. God, this has got nothing to do with me because someone got my credit card and defrauded me. That's got nothing to do with me because they got my Social Security card and found it. It's got nothing to do with me. I'm just a victim of circumstance. And so, Lord, I can hold my head high saying I'm getting punished because it's not my fault, but I'm still going to look to the Lord. I'm going to look to the Lord. So let's notice a couple things here real quick about these things here when it comes to listening to the Savior, because if this is for sin, then I've got to make sure that I don't get bitter. Let me show you somebody that got bitter. Go to Genesis chapter 4. Because some people, when they are chastened by the Lord, they become bitter and go even further away from God. Genesis chapter number 4. By the way, have you ever had your children, after you deal with them, you correct them or had to discipline them or chasten them, have you ever had them go away more bitter than better? Wow. If they go away more bitter than better, the chastening didn't do its job. Right. Chastening is designed to make them better. If they go away bitter, then there's something that either I didn't do right or something that's not right with them. One of the two. Because chastening should, when God chastens us, it's not to make us bitter. Think about God trying to make us bitter. God is not interested in making us bitter. God wants to make us better. So if the child goes away bitter, then there's something wrong with the way I chasten them, or there's something wrong with the child receiving the chastening. Cain is a picture of someone that there was nothing wrong with the chastening that God gave him. Everything was wrong with Cain. Genesis chapter number 4, and let's start reading in verse number 5. Of course, Abel bought his offering there, and Cain bought his offering in verse number 4. But at the end of verse 4, it says, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So Cain is upset with God because God didn't receive his offering. Verse 6, the Lord said unto Cain, why thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Notice this, verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Anything wrong with what God has said so far? What is God just giving to Cain? What is he telling Cain to do? What's that?
Accept God's
discipline. Do the right thing. You know what you're supposed to do. He said, if you do right, it'll be okay. He said, thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. He says, you know, sin's going to come, and you're going to be a ruler over sin. You don't want that. Verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. So what would Cain rather do? I'd rather get rid of the conviction than to get right with God and get converted. I'll just get this conviction gone, And that way, God will maybe be pleased. God says, no, that's not the answer either. Verse 9, the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I thy brother, my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. Fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, notice this, my punishment is greater than I can bear. That's the wrong response. In other words, he said, God, you're giving me more than I can handle. Will God give us more than we can handle? No.
No, he doesn't.
So Cain gives you a picture of the wrong response to God's chastening. Our response to God's chastening should be, okay, God, what do you want me to do? God said, if you do well, you'll be accepted. When it comes to us, if we do well, we'll be accepted. So Roman numeral 2 dealing with listening to God, listening to the Savior, we've got to make sure we have the right response when God does chasten us, if so be it is for sin. Okay? Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. By the way, this is not the popular subject. We don't like this. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. Notice what it says down there. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Rather than reacting with rebellion or giving up or fainting when we're chastened, we need to heed the admonition we're receiving. Recognize and hear God's voice. Roman numeral 2a says, listen to his chastening. If God is indeed chastening us, we should listen. What am I praying? Lord, try my heart, try my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way. Lead me in the way everlasting. If there's nothing there, then I'm not being chastened for my sin. This is a wicked world that's chastening me. If you and I don't discipline our children when they do wrong, the Bible says we actually don't love them. Proverbs 13, 24, look at that. And so it is with God. If God doesn't chasten us, God doesn't love us. But we know he does. And so we know he's going to chasten us. We just have to figure out, what am I being chastened for? Is this a wicked world or is this my own doing? Notice Proverbs 13, verse 24. Read that one with me. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. So I've got to make sure that the rod is for punishment. But I've got to get them diligently, early. Make sure I get them consistently. Why? That's my training. And by the way, the Bible is clear. If we spare the rod, we hate our children. Say, well, preacher, I'm not going to spank my child. The Bible says, if you don't, you hate him.
That's right, Pastor. Amen.
Now, I know we live in this world where the world is kind of refuting that, and you don't do that, it'll warp them. And this, but the world is not smarter than God. Amen, it's all in how it's done.
Yes, sir.
If it's done wrong, then you will make the child bitter. If it's done right, you will make the child better. Now, I'm not going to sit up here and say, I do it right all the time. I'm the best father in the world. I'm not going to say that. But I can tell you this. I can tell when I do it right.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
My children hug me. They embrace me. They love me. They kiss me.
Wow.
And I mean, they are just totally different. When I do it wrong, I can also tell. I can tell the difference. But the Bible says if I love them, then I'm not going to spare the rod. But in giving the rod, I've got to make sure I give it in love the same way God gives it to us to make us better.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
So if I'm going through a wounded spirit or a time of suffering, I've got to say, oh, Lord, is it because of my own sin or is it because of the wicked world? And so I'm going to listen to you and I want to hear what you've got to say. And if you are chastening me, then I want to get better. I don't want to get bitter.
Amen.
Because we see what happened to Cain there in his bitterness. Sometimes God's not going to give us the answer right off the bat. Psalm 27, go over there. Psalm 27. Psalm 27 in verse number 14. Verse 13 says, I had fainted lest I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, why are we reading that? Because Hebrews 12:5 says, ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint without rebuked of him. So it says, I had fainted lest I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14, read that with me. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Why might God wait on giving us an answer when we're talking about listening to his chastening? Why might God wait in giving us an answer? On God's time, not my own. Yeah, okay. Make sure we understand. We're ready. We're ready, really ready to listen. Because sometimes you can talk to your children, and they're not really ready to listen. They're not ready to listen. And then, you know, when they're not ready to listen, you know what you got to do again? Tell them the same thing over again. And you know what you sound like after a while? A broken record. And you get tired of hearing yourself. But guess what? When they really want to hear, when they have really been through the fire, guess what? Mom, Dad, can you help me? Mm-hmm. They're really ready to listen. They're ready to listen. I can remember multiple things my mother told me, and I'm like, yeah, right. And then when I went through something, I'm like, what did she say? How did she say to do that? What happens? Mom, how do you do such and such? I'm really ready to listen. So sometimes when we are listening to his chastening, we're not really ready to listen, and God may have to say, wait a little bit and go through the fire a little bit longer and suffer a little bit longer.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
And you'll get it.
Yes, sir.
Don't we hate that?
Yes, sir, we do, Pastor, we do.
Lord, I want out now. I want answers now. Lord, tell me now. Mm-hmm. And often, if I'm not ready to hear it, and guess what? I will be right back there again. Amen. The book says here, if we are wise, we'll love the Lord more for chastening us. We can expect his chastening to come when we do something that we know is wrong. We should expect it. Chastening is a sign of his love for us. God only chastens his children. He loves us too much to let us live in sin. By the way, for the chastening to be effective, we've got to go through it. Go back to Hebrews chapter 12. And notice what he says down there in verse number 7. For if ye, what's that word? Endure. I've got to bear up under it. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And that's why he says up there in verse 5, you've forgotten the exhortation, speaking unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint without rebuke. I can't faint. I've got to endure it. If I jump ship and try to get it another way, guess what? It's not going to work. There's only one way to get through this, and that is to endure it. Think about it. Did Jesus endure the cross?
Yes, sir.
There was no other way. He had to endure the cross. He had to go through the cross. He had to stay up there for a certain amount of time. He had to die up there. So he had to endure that. The same way sometimes we have to endure chastening. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I don't like it any more than you like it. I especially don't like it when the world inflicts it against me. Mm-hmm. But I definitely don't like it when I've done it to myself. That makes it worse because I could have avoided this. I can't avoid what people do to me, but I can avoid what I do to myself. So listen to his chastening. Then the second point there is learn from his chastening. Learn from his chastening. The purpose of God's chastening is to teach us something. And we have to learn what it is. Come down to Hebrews chapter 12 and notice verse number 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. Now he's saying we have parents, and our parents chastened us, and they tried to correct us of our flesh. But you know, once we got to a certain age, our parents don't come after us with the rod anymore.
Right,
amen. At least I don't think they do. Amen. They don't come knocking at your door to spank you for decisions that you made.
That's
Okay? They don't come and spank you anymore. Why? Life does a good job of that. God does a good job of that. But when we were younger, their job was to correct us or to spank us. And so he's saying, we had fathers of the flesh, which corrected us when we were young, and we gave them reverence. We obeyed our parents. And he says, shall we not much rather be in subjection to the father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chased us after their own pleasure. He said, they did it only for a short amount of time in raising us. But he, for our profit, God does it for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now notice this. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. When God doesn't deal with us, it seems to be fine. He says, but it's grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. What is he saying? It's the afterward that you and I are looking forward to. I don't like chastening any more than you. But it's the afterwards I'm looking forward to. How I'm going to come out afterwards, whether the world inflicts it on me or whether it's something that I did to myself. I don't like it, but I like the afterward, what happens afterwards. I come out wiser. I come out smarter. I come out more holy and more godly. If I do it right, I won't come out like Cain. Cain didn't come out of it at all. Matter of fact, you find over in the New Testament, it says Cain was of that wicked one. He was of the devil. And so he didn't come out of it at all. But it says down there, no chastening for the present, verse 11, seemed to be joyous. He says, but it's grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So what's the encouragement? Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. He says, go through it and let God deal in our lives. Now, again, I don't like it any more than you. In the closing section here, it says, chastening is not pleasant. And it is only valuable if we allow it to teach us what God wants us to learn. When we properly respond to chastening, our lives become fruitful. That is God's purpose, fruitfulness. Rather than allowing our spirits to be wounded by correction, we should seek to discern the lesson God is trying to teach us. Is it my own fault and I need to respond to that? Or is it the world's fault and I need to respond to that? Either way, I need to listen to the Savior and see what he's trying to tell me. I need to ask him to search my heart. I need to listen to his chastening. I need to learn from his chastening so that I can be better. Why? Oftentimes a wounded spirit can be something that we've done. Other times, it's something someone else has done to us. Either way, I've got to learn from God to be what God wants me to be. Now again, that was the hardest lesson of this lesson. Uh-huh. And that's the part where we're going to suffer sometimes for our own sin. And we don't like it. And folks, I don't like it either. As I went through this, I was like, I don't want to think about me doing wrong and suffering for it. I want to think about others doing me wrong and them suffering for it.
Yes, sir.
That's what I want to think about. Yes. If we're honest, we're all like that. Mm-hmm. It takes something to have to deal with me getting suffered or suffering for what I did. We want God's mercy. Hey, amen. We don't want to have to go through any hardships. But sometimes that's the only way we're going to learn. Is that we go through a hard time and we say, you know what? I don't want to repeat this anymore. I don't want to repeat that anymore. And so I'm going to let God deal with me. Our memory verse is going to be Hebrews 12:6. Hebrews 12:6, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And as you meditate on that, I want you to meditate on the first part. Whom the Lord loveth. Think about how much God loves us, and that's why he's allowing it. Don't think about that God's just letting you get beat down. He loves me, and that's why he's allowing it. Whom the Lord loveth. If he didn't love you, he'd let you do what you want to do.
Yep.
Amen. And if we don't love our children, we'll let them do whatever they want to do. And guess who suffers in the long run? They do. But guess whose child they are in the long run? Ours. And guess whose name will get tarnished? Your name will. Can you imagine being the parents of Jesse James? or one of these mass murders. Can you imagine being the parents? And when normally something tragic happens, what do? They want to talk to the parents. Well, what happened to little Johnny?
Well, he was a fine child when he was growing up, and I don't know what happened to him.
Something happened to him to make him snap. They always want to talk to the parents. What happened? What am I saying? Whom the Lord loveth. We've got to see this as an act of love. God loves us. And that's why he wants to show us, whether it's the world or whether we're being wounded by something that we've done, God wants to show us how to get the victory. And that is looking to the Savior and listening to the Savior. Hebrews 12:6 is our memory verse. Father, thank you, Lord, for showing us sometimes when we go through a wounded spirit, sometimes it is our fault. Sometimes it's the fault of a sinful world. In either case, Lord, you want us to get better, not bitter. Lord, help us to understand what we need to do to get better and help us not to get bitter. Cain is a good example that we saw of a bitter, bitter person. But that's because he was never wanting to do right in the first place. Help us, Lord, today to understand the difference of the chastening that we're going through. And Lord, may we look and may we listen that we may learn. Thank you so much for loving us. Bless now refreshments next door and into the morning session. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.